He's actually saying that whatever we want or whatever we need from the Lord can be found where? In the Word. In the Word. Okay? Not from my words, not from anybody else's word, from the Word of God. Okay? That didn't come from me. That came straight from heaven for us here. Okay? Whatever you need or desire. Doesn't the scripture say that? He'll give us the what? Desires of our heart. If we delight ourselves in the Lord. If we don't delight ourselves, what do we get? Nothing. We have to delight ourselves in Him. What does that mean? I know we've been to ice cream shops and it's delighting. Delightful. Right? The Lord's saying, I want you to treat my presence that way. Think about that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The title of tonight is Living in the Anointing. Okay? We're going to be living in the anointing. How do we do that? This is kind of like part three of what we had been starting. And since it's part three, I'm going to share something with you. Did you know that there are actually three types of people in the church? I know we've heard many different illustrations of this, but there's three types of people in the church. The first type is the people who make things happen. Second type is the people who watch things happen. And the third type is the type of people who wonder what just happened. It's like, oh man. So then they go somewhere else. Oh man. But hallelujah, Jesus is a good God. He is our healer. And I'm going to finish up, I'm halfway through the message, I'm going to ask a question. And then the question will be asked throughout the message. And this question is something that we're going to have to really ask ourselves every day. Everybody say every day. Every day. Hallelujah. We're going to do this every day. Let's go to our keynote scriptures. The first one is found in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Oof, boy, that's loud. Isaiah 10, verse 27. Now, this one here, that's New King James. Okay, I'm going to read it in the regular King James. Do you mind? Is that okay, everybody? And then they're very similar, but I want you to see that there is a little bit of difference. Okay, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And scripture starts off and says, and it shall come to pass. Everybody say, shall come to pass. It's going to come to pass, okay? In that day. Ooh, he's talking about a day here, okay? That his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder. And his yoke, and the King James says, his control. If you don't have it written down in your Bible, write it down. His control will be lifted off your neck. Okay? And the yoke shall be destroyed. Everybody knows what a yoke is, right? Pulling an oxen or a horse or something. It's a wooden with leather and things on it. Okay, it says that the yoke shall be destroyed because of the what? The anointing or the anointing oil. I believe God is actually saying something here to us that there is a correlation between the anointing and oil. Sometimes when we come up to get prayer, right, we get hands laid on us and we get anointed with grape juice? With oil. With oil. Okay? Oil is so important. And God is trying to tell us something. Let's go to Psalms chapter, or Psalms 105, verse 15. Psalms 105, verse 15. Everybody there? You can write it down in your Bible, underline it. If you don't already have it done, then tonight's a good night to do it. Psalms 105, verse 15. Here we go. Saying, touch not mine anointed. Who is he talking to here? Us or who else? Touch not. There you go. The enemy. Yeah. The enemy. Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Our pastor is a man of God. And our pastoral staff here has been under attack in one, you know, form or another. Okay? This is a verse that we as a church have got to take upon ourselves for our pastor and the staff and our congregation. Why? We are anointed. We have to tell the enemy, take your hands off my anointed. If you've gotten your children anointed or prayed for and given to the Lord, they're anointed. So you have the right to tell the enemy, take your hands off my anointed in Jesus' name. Are you catching this? This is how we live in the anointing. It's not just something, whatever. No, you live in it. It's a daily thing. Now we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is a new verse because we're doing a little backing up too. But Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're going to read verses 19 and 20. How many of you know that God's still the same? Yes. Okay, everybody knows that? He wasn't a different type of God in the Old Testament. He wasn't a different type of God when there was no word coming forth at the time of the Maccabees. And he's a different type of God in the New Testament. And now that Jesus is raised from the dead, he's now a different God again. No. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. This is Moses talking here. How many would have liked to have Moses talk to you? It would have been kind of cool, but he did a lot of rebuking too. Here we go. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. This day is recorded, okay? That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Then God pretty much intervenes here and says through Moses, therefore, I'm going to give you the answer. Choose life. Don't be dumb. Okay? Choose life. That both you and your seed may what? May live. May live. May live. Verse 20. That you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is your what? He is your life, and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. I want you guys to take note of something. See in verse 19, he says, choose you this day. You guys see that there? Okay, circle the word choose. In Hebrew, that word choose is a progressive / continual word. It's something you must continually choose every day. You say, well, I already did that. I asked Jesus into my heart and I chose. Okay, that's cool. No, it's not. No. It's every day. He's actually saying you must continually choose the Lord every day. Otherwise, what happens? The thief comes to do what? To kill, steal, and destroy. The Lord got all over me about this verse when I was in the hospital. He said, your choosing has been weak. Okay. And I paid the price for it. Okay. But my choosing has changed. It's changed. All of our choosing needs to change. It's got to be continually. Day in, day out, choose. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It is life and health to all our flesh. It's medicine, and we take this medicine. We thank you, Father, because we know in the name of Jesus that you are providing your medicine to Pastor Dennis, and he's receiving the medicine of God. Hallelujah. And if anybody is sick among us, they're going to receive the medicine of God tonight, because it is your word that's life, health, and medicine to all our flesh. We thank you, Father, that you would be just here mightily, that you would move within us, you'd rise up big within us, so that the words that are spoken tonight will go unhindered. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. There was a company, and this won't change the direction the church is going in the service. There was a company that had these commercials that were on TV. And this person would be doing something, and the thing that they did was very embarrassing, or they were just put in a very particular situation, and then all of a sudden, the words came out, and the voice came out and says, want to get away? Southwest Airlines, you know, just somebody does something, they say, want to get away? It's like, I'm out of here. You know, oh, man. I want you to think of this question instead of want to get away. Want to get God's attention? Want to get God's attention? Want to get God's attention? Okay. Because prayer is not just the way to do it. Why can I say that? Now, myself, Pastor Ricardo, and Pastor Pete, and Pastor Dennis, okay, we're not tooting our horns, but we can be trusted when we're standing at this pulpit. We're not going to lead you down a rabbit trail or in some kind of hole somewhere. We're telling you the word of God, okay? The reason why I can say that it's not just prayer is because there are religions and cults around the world who pray continually. They pray. Who are they praying to? But they still pray. When the Apostle Paul and Jesus say you got to pray continually, and the disciples said, teach us how to pray. There were a lot of cults back then. They saw these cults and, you know, these other groups, these people praying, fasting, doing all kinds of things. And they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray the way you do. So there's a key. Teach us how to pray the way you pray. Want to get God's attention? That's the question that's going to linger throughout the service. Want to get God's attention? Let's go to Psalms 133. We're all going to be there. Psalms 133. We're going to jump a little bit here about oil. When anybody's purchased a car or something, did you guys anoint it with oil? Yeah, yeah. It's biblical. We've got to put oil in it anyway. So lay hands on it when you're putting in the oil. Sure. Amen. Lay hands on your car. That's right. Psalms 133. It's only three verses long. Okay. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren or for our church or Christians to dwell together in what? Unity. Verse 2. It is like the precious ointment or oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard of Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. What garments is he talking about here? His high priestly robes. He was the first high priest that God put on this earth. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. He's actually saying when there is the anointing oil that's there, picture what happened in Jerusalem or Mount Zion when Aaron was anointed with oil. Okay? God's saying, I'm commanding the blessing upon you in this whole land. And I'm speaking life to it. I'm speaking life to it. He did that in the Garden of Eden. And there were two people who were responsible who said, They gave it up. And then what happened? Death came in an area where there was life. Otherwise, there's no death. No death. God was actually telling us here in Psalms 133 that there'll be nothing but life if you follow his commandments and his anointing. We're talking about living in the anointing. Let's go to Psalms 89. Psalms 89. This is going to get good, you guys. So fasten your seatbelts if you have any. If not, just hold on tight. Psalms 89, verses 20 through 23. Scripture says here that I have found David, my servant. God says, I found him. Okay? I found him. I found him. What was he doing when he was looking for him, trying to find him? According to scriptures, he was basically a shepherd, and he was practicing his trade, killing a bear, killing a lion, doing all these things, and the Lord said, I found him. He's a faithful servant of mine. I found him doing what he's supposed to do. He didn't do something different. I found him, my servant, with my holy what? My holy oil have I anointed him. Verse 21. With whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. And I really like verse 22 and 23. Said the enemy shall not exact upon him or threaten him or attack him in a certain way that's going to be victorious, okay? Nor the son of the wickedness afflict him. Verse 23, and I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. What caused David to have that type of blessing upon the Lord? Was it just because he was Jesse's son? It was the holy anointing oil of the Lord. He was doing what he was supposed to do. And then he became king. But having the Lord actually say, I'm going to beat down your enemies before your face. Ricardo, what do you think about that? Yeah. The Lord said, I'm going to beat down your enemies right before your face. You don't have to do it. I'm going to do it. That's living in the anointing. Come on. Amen? That is living in the anointing. Wow. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalms 45, verse 7. Psalms 45, verse 7. If anybody has read Psalms 45 before, you'll know and you'll take note that this is a psalm for a king to get married. Say, why are we talking about this, Pastor Larry? A king, you know, having being getting married. Well, the scripture says that we have all been made kings and priests unto the Lord. And we are all going to participate in a marriage. Isn't that not true? Book of Revelation says we will participate at the marriage supper of the Lamb as kings and priests. This psalm is for us. I want you to think about that for a second as we read verse 7. Here we go. Thou loves righteousness. Is that not true? You can't go to the marriage supper of the Lamb if you don't love righteousness. You can't go. It is withheld to only those who love righteousness. Okay? You love righteousness and hate wickedness. You hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. What is that actually saying? We love righteousness and we hate wickedness. And then God will anoint us with the oil of gladness above our fellows. Fellows is an old English word for heathen. Okay? Don't you just understand that? Okay, he's going to anoint us above the heathen because the scripture even says that we're going to be so blessed it's going to make the heathen or the Gentiles jealous. Have we made a Gentile jealous lately? Or a Jew jealous? Something to think about. Want to get God's attention? Let's go to Luke chapter 4. We're going to tie this in two last portions of scripture as we tie it together and answer this question. Luke chapter 4. I'll let you guys turn there. She'll have it up on the screen. We're going to start with verse 14. You're going to see, even when Jesus was walking upon the earth, he was ministering to people all over the place. Is that not true? If you read the Gospels, he ministered. He preached, he healed, he delivered, he set the captives free, he worked miracles, he did the fivefold ministry in the flesh or on earth. Okay? He did that. Do you think there was anybody on the earth, or let's just say within a 25-mile radius of where Jesus was, who did not hear about Jesus? Or do you think everybody heard? What's that? Within a 25-mile radius, that's as far as they went. 25. What happened if somebody lived 28 miles away? They didn't hear. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, go. I'm not called to them. I'm called to the lost sheep of Israel. And they were just within a 25-mile radius. Sure, some have left to different places, but that's where everybody was. That's where the corruption was. Through the church. Doesn't it say that judgment starts with the house of God? It does. It does. Yes. So yeah, I believe that Jesus, as he was getting ready to be taken up on the cross, there's a lot of people. They're wondering what the commotion was going on, you know, and they're just going, okay, somebody's getting crucified. Happens every day. Verse 14. And Jesus returned. Now this is after the temptation from the devil on the Mount of Temptation, and he defeated the devil with "it is written" words. It is written. Okay? Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Wow. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Verse 15, and he taught in their synagogues, they are being glorified of all. Okay, he's being glorified. Let's go to verse 16. And he came to Nazareth. Where was Nazareth again? Wasn't that his hometown where he pretty much grew up? Okay. And we know some things about Nazareth where some of the disciples said, what good can come from Nazareth? And Jesus just goes, sure, there's a well there, but I was there. Okay. Where he had been brought up. He's been brought up there. And as his custom was, everybody say custom. Did you know we all have a custom of something? We do. We get up in the morning, we have a certain custom, the way we do things. The way we get dressed, the way we comb our hair, the way we do things. Okay? And if that custom gets broken that day, we're kind of out of sorts. Did it ever happen to anybody? Sheesh, you know. I had daughters, yeah. The girls, sorry, I'm not talking about everybody. Don't want to put my foot in my mouth. Oh, boy. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He went to church and stood up for to what? To read. And there was delivered unto him the book or the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And when he, Jesus, opened the scroll or the book, and he found the place where it was written. Scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because. It's not there just because, otherwise he would have said that. The Spirit of the Lord is there because, and here are the reasons. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, gosh, there was a lot of rich people around there too. Was he just limiting it to the poor? This is a spiritual term Isaiah was talking about. Anybody ever seen somebody that is kind of helpless? And what do the people say? Oh, poor little dear. They could have a lot of money. It has nothing to do with money. It says that they are poor in spirit. I have to preach to them. Okay? And he said, he has sent me, the anointing has sent me to what? To heal. To heal. The anointing is there to heal. The brokenhearted. If a person is sick, are they joyful? No. They're brokenhearted. Yeah. He deals with the inside first, and the healing goes inside and then out. Okay? To heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives. Man. You ever seen anybody captive before? Oh, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter. Pastor Pete, the Lord said, 38 years your brother has been there. But just as the one that I ministered to who was at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, his time is coming to come out. But he has to be willing to accept it. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. What is a bruise? You're bleeding underneath the skin. You're bleeding. Yeah. Okay, so if you're bleeding under the skin, the Lord's saying, let me take care of that bruise, that bleeding that's there. Jesus was even bleeding underneath his skin at the crucifixion, even though he shed it. Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus had his his job cut out for him because his job really could have taken a good 15 to 20 years. He had to do it all in 3. The last 6 months was, you know, do or die stuff. So he had 3 years to call a crew, get a whole ministry team, you know, you name it, everything, okay? 3 years to do that, to heal the sick, excuse me, raise the dead, you name it, all of that in 3 years. That's a short time, man. It really is. It's nothing. Okay, and now let's go to verse 20. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, or the rabbi, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. I've shared the story before, okay? And he sat down, though, after he read it. And verse 21 said, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled where? In your ears. Okay? Where did he sit? Most of you have heard me share this before. Where did Jesus sit when he sat down? Did he put it scroll down, then walk back to his seat? Because most of those were oval synagogues. Where did he sit? He sat in the seat of the Messiah that nobody is allowed to sit there. That's why everybody's just staring at him like, what? Nobody can sit there. That seat's for the Messiah. So when he sat there and he declared, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, he's talking under the anointing. It's not bragging. No. The Lord told him to do that because he says he's anointed me to preach, to teach, to heal, to deliver, to set the captives free, and everybody in this synagogue needs to be free. That's what he said. That's why he sat in the Messiah seat. He doesn't do that anywhere else except where? His hometown. His hometown. They needed deliverance. Because what happened? They all started. And then they wanted to what? Pull him off and throw him off a cliff. His hometown. He's their boy. And they want to kill him. You think they need deliverance? The spirit of murder is running through that synagogue. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Whoever was in the synagogue that day, yeah, beware. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us. Mercy is a word that I'd like everybody to write down if you're writing in your Bible. But he had mercy on them in this story. He had mercy on them. He could have just said, you know, you're pushing me off. Well, I'm just going to cause the rocks to fall and they all fall. But he's not a murderer. He doesn't do that. He does not repay evil for evil, eye for an eye. That's not him. That's not him. Mercy. In the Hebrew, there are three words for mercy. In the Greek, there are three words for mercy. And every one of them is plural. If you write mercy down in your Bible, put an I-E-S in parentheses next to it. Okay? Because when the scripture says his mercy endures forever, the scripture is actually saying in the Hebrew, his mercies. Mercies. Why? God knows that everything is a continual decision day in and day out. Choose you this day. Follow me this day. Because evil is the day that there's going to be when you're there. So you're going to need mercy that day. You're going to need it tomorrow. You're going to need it every day. So his mercies. You may need mercy in finances. You may need mercy in healing. You may need mercy in salvation. They're a part of the mercies bag. Okay? We're all on the same page there? Okay. Because his mercies. 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 And we're going to see exactly what that means at an implication, and here it is. To bend or stoop over to an inferior or to give favor, to graciously grant pity upon all supplications. When a person asks God for mercy or mercies, the picture he's wanting us to see, where he'll say, okay, what is it that you need? What? God's bowing down? Sure. The book of Numbers says, number 6 says he will do that. He'll bow down when we give our whole life and whole heart to him and offer us gifts. What? What? That's in the Greek and the Hebrew. Yeah. When somebody asks for mercy or mercies, it actually means the implication is to bend or stoop over to an inferior. Are we not inferior to God? Okay. To an inferior. To give favor. To graciously grant pity upon all supplications. What's your supplication today? What is it? What are you asking for? Is it not we're asking for mercy? Whatever level of mercy you need. The Lord says, I'm here. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. It's not, I'm here. That's not what he's doing. And he will never do that until the great white throne. Bless you. God is so good. Let's go to Mark chapter 10 in closing. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to get a perfect picture of a person who did this, because last time I spoke, I didn't get into detail on it, but this time I'm going to, especially on God's attitude, his expressions, and his dealings with somebody who asks for mercy. Okay, here we go. Mark chapter 10, we're going to start with verse 46. And they, the disciples, came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho, remember I said he just went, whoop, did a U-turn real quick. He did a U-turn. Because somebody was on the other side of the street. Okay? With his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side doing what? Begging. Okay? And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out or to shout or scream and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him, blind Bartimaeus, that he should hold his peace. In other words, keep quiet. There's a lot of people there, but he's talking above them. He should keep quiet. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He's actually saying it in plural, because don't forget this is also Greek for the word mercies. He's saying, give your mercies to me. What does verse 49 say? And Jesus ran away? Went to the restaurant? He stood still. He stood still. He stood still and commanded him to be what? To be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise. He calls you. These are the same people who told him to be quiet. Now they're saying he's calling you. So, okay, your loud voice prevailed. Think about it. Your loud voice prevailed. Verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, he took off his coat that gave him a legal right to be a blind beggar. That's a statement of faith right there. Yeah. If he went there with that blind thing, God, Jesus would have said, what do you have to offer? Where's your faith? Let's continue on. Took off his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. And verse 51. Picture what the original Hebrew and Greek says about mercies. And God standing there with his head bowed like this. Think about it. He's doing this. He lifts up. And then he says to blind Bartimaeus, verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will you that I should do unto you? What do you want me to do? Didn't Jesus know he was blind? Didn't he know? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my what? My sight. Verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go your way, your what? Your faith has made you whole or well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Want to get God's attention? Want to get God's attention? Mercy is the reason why I believe God has it plural, is because it's a continual thing. Just like we continually choose to follow the Lord and make the decision daily. It's continual. Nowhere does he say, choose me once and then you can stop. If you don't feel like it today, that's okay. I felt that way too, you know. No, no. God doesn't do that. He doesn't say that. He didn't even think that. Dear Jesus. Want to get God's attention? We cry out. We continually cry out for his mercies. If we have to get in our closet and say, Jesus, I need your mercy. I may not have sinned today or anything, but I still need your mercy to answer my prayers for Pastor Dennis, for a relative or somebody. I need your mercy. So that Jesus can actually just appear and say, not in the physical, but in the spirit, and just say, what is it that you desire? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want the Lord to do for you? Dave, what do you want the Lord to do for you? Tony, what do we want the Lord to do for us? The mercies of the Lord are strong. They're here tonight. Whatever you need from the Lord, cry out to him for mercy. For mercy. Whatever we need. Jesus, we cry out to you for mercy. For mercy, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We give you glory. You're a good God. Thank you, Lord. You desire us to walk in health and healing and in your mercies. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wherever we've missed it, Lord, by not continually confessing you daily, by not continually asking you for mercy, by not continually choosing you, Mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's here. He's here. Don't tune him out. Don't tune him out. Receive it. Receive the healing. Receive your deliverance. Receive it. He's here. He's here. If anybody is weeping near you or something, go ahead. Pray for them. Lay hands on them. Minister to them in the name of the Lord. After you've cried out for mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have your way tonight, Lord. Have your way. Have your way tonight. Breakthrough is what we're asking for, Lord. Breakthrough. Spiritual breakthroughs. Physical breakthroughs. Financial breakthroughs. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, la la mamba kete la la so turu du du.